It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The Michael K. Show.
Alan Hahn.
Not getting Donovan Mitchell. How about that decision? Because it's R.J. Barrett and Quentin Grimes with two players you didn't want to put in that deal, plus the first-round picks. Does Jalen Brunson become what he is if Donovan Mitchell is here and playing next to him? Now, do you get O.G. Anunoby? You probably can't. Can you do a move like this? Are you involved in something this summer? Because some of the assets are already gone. There's a lot of things that they also didn't do that we criticize that now you look back and think their patience, which is something we're so bad at here in New York, has worked out to this point that has gotten them to where people on the national media are now acknowledging this Knicks franchise. People used to laugh at this franchise. They are now saying that this team is building itself into a contender, and we haven't said that in a very long time.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
You kidding me?
What a day here in New York. What a day. The Knicks with a big trade. They make themselves better.
Yeah.
They are better. And isn't that all you want is to be better? You wake up every day. Peter, you want to be better, right?
Well, that's why I go to BetterHelp, code Peter, to try to make myself better. But, yeah, no, it's a good day to be a Knicks fan. It's a good day to be a WWE fan. The big press conference tonight at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas with The Rock and Cody and Roman all getting together. I'm thrilled about this.
Now, I was eavesdropping on a conversation that you were having earlier. So The Rock was on with the great Pat McAfee.
Of course.
Did he kind of lean into this?
We have it. You want to hear it?
Well, if it's long, I don't want to hear it. I mean,
it's pretty entertaining, though. Let me put it this way. Relative to the audio that we play on this show, you're going to like this.
All right.
Here we go.
I love Cody. I love his passionate fans. Then there's the other passionate fans of Cody.
Yep.
And they're called the, Cody Crybabies. Yeah.
I didn't know the name that was coming.
It was the Cody Crybabies.
Yeah, okay.
And these are grown-ass men. And Cody got to finish his story. He has to finish his story right now. It's like, wait a second. Hold on. Hey, Dad, you want to go outside and play catch with me? Not now. Cody's got to finish. And I'm upset. The wife comes in. Hey, honey, do you want to go have sex? Not now. You've got to finish your story. At the end of the day,
to making fun of the Cody fans.
Right.
And so it makes you think maybe tonight we're going to see a different version of Rock. But
so why doesn't Cody fight Rock then?
Well, maybe we'll get that. Maybe they'll flip the switch.
Now, does anybody have two matches in one WrestleMania? So let Cody fight Rock, and the winner of that could fight.
You know, Michael, for a guy who's not into wrestling,
right.
You're saying something a lot of people are thinking.
But I'm into stories.
Right. So a lot of people are suggesting and hope for a situation where there's a match one night and a match the second night. Maybe the winner of the one the first night.
Can the body handle
gets
that?
The winner.
Can the body handle that?
You hope so. I mean, listen, the truth is you never know. Like, that is the scary part. You don't know. Like, something could happen.
Well, you can end one of the matches early with one of those carelessly leftover ladders
You can't do that at WrestleMania.
No?
You can't just have a random DQ at WrestleMania. It's too much. But because WrestleMania is two nights now, as it has been for the last 5 years or so.
Will you be there?
What do you think?
I don't know.
I'm going to be there both nights. I'm doing a live Cheap Heat on Thursday
night. And where
is that? That's in Philadelphia.
Okay.
The Cheap Heat Live, it's at Fringe Arts in Philadelphia.
Oh, I'll be there.
On Thursday night. I'm going to have special guests.
What
it's going to be great.
Is it? What day is it?
It's Thursday, April 4th.
I'm working.
Oh, so
no, really. I'll be in Phoenix.
Is that where it's
Yankees,
Arizona?
Phoenix, yeah.
Oh, you throw out the record books when the D-backs and the Yankees
get
this time
of year. Wait a minute. There is a 2001 World Series. Right? I'm sure that'll come up in conversation.
I mean, I don't know if you remember, the D-backs were in the World Series last year.
Yeah, but nobody remembers.
By the way.
Well, more people remember the 0-1 team last year's Diamondbacks.
They had a World Series last year?
Yeah, they did. Yes.
I was so out so fast. That was tough.
It's like most of the interviews. We know right away when you're out.
Anyways, I say all of that to say it's a big week in Vegas. I love that WWE decided to do it at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas while everyone's already there for Radio Row.
Yeah.
It's really smart. And you know the media's got to be bored already. How many times can you hear Thurman Thomas try to hawk soap? You know what I mean? They're probably ready for something different by Thursday night.
I got to tell you what. You brought up Vegas. And, driving there, I was thinking, okay, we're going to talk to Lou Lamoriello. That's great. And I said, there's no buzz coming out of Vegas. There's no storylines. And you know, maybe it's because you know, there's no New York involvement at all. So there's no storylines for us. I mean, we could debate, is Brock Purdy, you know, an elite quarterback? I don't think he is. A lot of people will say he is. But there's really no story. So well, we will talk to Lou Lamoriello. We will talk to Aaron Boone. But what's got your – is anything floating your boat coming out of the Super Bowl?
Listen, because I from a New York perspective, it seems like everybody's kind of tired of Kansas City the way they were of New England. It's getting to that point now where, like, it's every year. It's Kansas City. It's Patrick Mahomes. So – and he's not to the level yet where you're going to start talking about comparing him to Tom Brady.
Well, people are.
But
he wins this one,
away.
They definitely
he's
are.
Five
it's
away.
Still a long way to go. But still, you're talking about, I think his legacy's kind of, you know, pretty comfortable right now. But, you know, another championship obviously would add to that, same with Andy Reid. And San Francisco, even though they haven't won recently, it's the same matchup from a couple of years ago. San Francisco's kind of been there. The Purdy is an interesting story, but the 49ers have won a ton of championships, and I don't think anybody's really
don't you think, Don,
that thrilled with either of the two teams.
Don't you think it's interesting, kind of a mouthful, that, as Don just said, these two teams played in 2020, 4 years ago. I feel like that's barely even been talked about. Like, even though they just played in the Super Bowl, there's still no juice between these two teams.
Because the quarterback was different for the Niners then.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So it just doesn't make it seem like...
So it doesn't even seem like the same team.
And,
right.
And part of what you sell a Super Bowl on is, you know, there's a David and a Goliath. There's a good guy, there's a bad guy. I don't sense that here. Neither team is an underdog, per se. I mean, you can't say, even though Kansas City is the true underdog by a point and a half, they're the defending Super Bowl champions. 49ers were a machine all year. So if Detroit were here, then you would have, like, I think it would be a sexier kind of conversation
don't
about can the Lions actually do it.
Don't you think if the Lions were there, we would have been talking about the Super Bowl even more this
probably.
Week?
Probably. Yes. I mean, you could sink your teeth into that. And I also love when people are trying, well, can the Chiefs, you know, be the underdog that wins the underdog?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's nonsense.
The Giants beating the Patriots, that was an underdog. That was an, if the Chiefs win, it's not an upset.
No,
a point and a half is not like a...
It's an evenly matched game. So you would think that'd be enough to kind of talk about. But, you know, as I mentioned, they faced each other in 2020. I think the game can be a classic, and there'll be a lot of conversation after if it is a classic.
Yes.
But, man, think about it. If this were Lions-Ravens, there'd be so many storylines of being able to have the Lions trying to win their first.
Lamar Jackson
trying to win his first. And there would be a freshness to it. But when you get a 49er team in the Super Bowl and now recently a Kansas City team in the Super Bowl, it does feel a little tired.
Yeah, it should be a great game.
Yes.
You know, it really should be. And I'm vacillating back and forth on my pick based on sort of what I think versus what my brain is telling me. I do think we'll see a pretty good football game.
So you don't think with your brain?
Well, I was going to say heart, but it's not
stomach.
Quite heart.
Stomach.
Yeah, maybe it's stomach. Yeah, maybe that's better. My stomach is actually saying Chiefs.
Okay.
My brain is looking at the line and going, this is weird. It's going to be San Francisco. And that's where I think I'm going to end up landing. I do think we're going to get a really good game. You said, Don, there's really no, like, good guy and bad guy. I would argue if there's anything, one of the things that makes it unappealing is if you're not from San Francisco or Kansas City, they're both bad guys.
Right, exactly.
If you're an NFC fan, right. 49ers kill you every year. And then, you know who you really got to feel bad for? A true fan of the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Raiders have their crosstown rival historically, the 49ers, who they hate, in the Super Bowl against their division rival, who owns them, the Chiefs, in their stadium, where they have not accomplished a thing. That's brutal.
Let me add some. Let's see if you follow me on this, Don. Let me add some intrigue to your pick. It almost seems like the 2000, I guess it was the 2001 Mariners that won 116 games.
Yes.
They didn't win the World Series. If you don't pick the Super Bowl right, the whole thing is invalid.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you got to validate your championship. If not, it means nothing.
I mean, listen, I would love to climb aboard that ship. But
I split the championship weekend. It's
big that you win.
This seems kind of made up. You're grasping at
straws. No, he
dominated so thoroughly.
But I don't have the same respect for him if he doesn't pick the
Super
Bowl.
Well, listen, I'm... I'll tell you, I'm leaning towards San Francisco for that reason. I get the hunch you guys are both leaning towards Kansas City.
Yeah.
Especially you, Michael. I know you're leaning towards Kansas City.
Well, because I would punish myself if I picked the 49ers and Mahomes
wins again. That's the main thing.
Oh, it's killed me.
But so the last 2 weeks, I loved Buffalo against Kansas City. And then you guys remember at the last minute, I switched to the Ravens, said, the Ravens beat Kansas City. So now I'm going, I'm not going to be fooled again. I'm going Mahomes. But then I see that line, and I go, well, why is San Francisco favored?
And to your point about San Francisco being, like, the good guy or the, you know, let's end this Kansas City. It's their sixth Super Bowl. That's why I say that there's a little lack of freshness. I mean, the 49ers in the Super Bowl is not a thing anymore. I mean, like, we've seen that.
Do you know how many sexy options there were? Staring us in the face.
Yeah, but you know,
Detroit and Buffalo would have been beautiful. Baltimore would have been fun.
But see, I don't get any kind of like interesting vibe from Baltimore. To me, they're kind of like a faceless team, other than Lamar.
That's it. You're right. I will agree with you on this.
Yeah,
they're always there.
Yeah,
they always win.
Right.
The only storyline there would be Lamar's big moment. And now he goes from being on the precipice of this moment to now you're questioning, but is he the dude?
Yeah, because if it was Ravens-Niners, we've just seen that.
We just saw that, too.
But I think if you had Ravens-Lions, then that would be juicy. The Lions trying to win their first, Lamar trying to win his first. That would have been a sexy matchup.
Here's what I would have loved. If I could redo the playoffs. You know, they say it's scripted. By the way, if it's scripted, they did a horrible job here. To end up landing here was a bad script. The NFL script writers need to redo it. You want a sexy script option. They were staring that Detroit-Green Bay championship game right in the face. Don, that would have been dead sexy. Then you get Detroit in the Super Bowl with their first chance to do it. And on the AFC side, yeah, the most interesting team who was recently eliminated would be Buffalo, right? That would have been the most interesting and appealing thing. Buffalo and Detroit both trying to climb that mountain would have been amazing.
And listen, I'm no fan, as you know, and you're not either.
Go ahead.
So I'm happy they didn't make it, but there would be a lot of buzz if the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Just because it's been so long.
Yes.
And they're so hated by people or so loved by people. That's the thing is that... If it would have been the Cowboys versus Kansas City.
Oh, Don.
Cowboys really versus anybody.
Don, if I stood up right now, you would see how much I love the idea that you just had. Cowboys-Chiefs would have been, you take a game.
Wow.
No, I'm not saying I'm not Drake the Snake, but you take...
Who is?
No, apparently not many.
Le'Veon Bob.
You take the Cowboys and plug them in the instead of the 49ers, and even though I hate the Cowboys, the truth is, Don... At this point, I kind of hate the 49ers more.
Hateable about them?
Because they're always there. I always find from a team personality standpoint, they're boring. They're just consistently good. The Cowboys, and then I'd be rooting for the Chiefs. I'd have something to really be invested in. All I'm looking forward to on Sunday is seeing if my friend Jeff makes a good seven-layer dip.
Here's the funny. I never really hated the 49ers because the Giants – did get theirs against the 49ers. Like, enough. I mean, they beat Steve Young. They beat Montana, and Young had to come into the game. Like, they've had their shit. That's a great rivalry. But I feel like as a Giant fan, they had a few really good wins against the 49ers. You know what bothers me about San Francisco, though? Is San Francisco. It just doesn't fit.
So you don't like the town?
I love the town. Oh. I don't ever remotely think about football when I'm there. It just, you know what? It's wine and cheese. It just, I don't know. There's just something very highbrow about them that always bothered me a little bit.
I mean, it's kind of transitioned to high crime in the city.
Well, it's both.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it, you know.
I don't know. You're not getting robbed and then given wine and cheese.
Well, there's no, but that's I think the fact that there's so much wine and cheese is also part of why there's so much crime. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
I think, well, it's a town of haves and have-nots. It's a very small, super, I mean, it's San Francisco is such a crazy expensive place that, and the parts that are bad about San Francisco jump out at you so much more than New York. I'm sorry. I know.
Because it's a smaller big town.
I guess. I mean, you and I have our disagreements about where New York is, and I tend to think that New York is, the badness of it has been a little bit overblown in the media. I'll tell you this. As a guy who many people would think would love San Francisco, you would think, people would think.
Right.
I love San Francisco.
And your mom and dad would raise you that way.
They think right. that. And I like San Francisco. Culturally, it has a lot of awesome things. The Bay Area in general. Oakland always gets left out of the conversation. A different town, but... The bad part of San Francisco is so in your face. Yeah. Like the second you walk out of a nice restaurant and there's someone just dropping a deuce on the street. Yeah. I can't even argue with that part. And
I mean,
it's real.
The poor homeless people, I mean, some of them like have no clothes on and they're laying on the floor.
Well, and the drug part are so bad. Like,
yeah.
There's a danger. There's a dangerous feeling in San Francisco with homeless people that you just don't feel in New York in the same way.
You think there's a reason why the 49ers are not in San Francisco anymore?
Yeah, everything's getting pulled out of that city.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, and listen, one of the major reasons why we don't go to the Super Bowl anymore is that other things are going on. Like, it always felt like during Super Bowl week, what else are you going to talk about? But, hey, when Porzingis got traded on Super Bowl week, the Knicks make a big trade here. There's other things that are – football is still king. There's no question. But don't you feel like there's other things going on,
yes,
other topics of conversation?
I mean, if we were there, you'd be talking, you know, there'd be an ex-football player talking about Depends undergarments and stuff like that. And they just roll them through. And we used to have a good time there. But I'll tell a story about the show. It'll be in the book that Don and I eventually write. We used to always go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then one
year, do I write the foreword of the book at least? I mean, I'm not a part of it at all.
No, you'll be a big part of it.
But I won't.
You're nothing to do with putting it together.
I can't even write a foreword.
There'll be a chapter about you.
One chapter.
And you'll be thanked at the end of the book.
We'll see how it ends. But we decided one year we're not going to go. I forget what Super Bowl that was.
The Porzingis one?
Yeah.
God, it's going to bother me now.
17, I think.
All right, so anyway, we did the show from the FanDuel place in the Meadowlands.
Yes.
And our competition at the time, Mike Francesa, he loved going to the, you know, Radio Row.
New York.
He and Chris had a big part of making Radio Row what it was. So he was there. And up in that point, Don would tell you, we were getting closer to him, but we just couldn't get over the hump. We were getting closer in the ratings, couldn't get over the hump. We didn't go to the Super Bowl. He did. The trade deadline happens. The Knicks trade Kristaps Porzingis, which was gigantic.
At the time, if you were very young at the time or something, you'd be surprised how big a deal it was at that time.
Right.
But it was. The Porzingis story was a monster story.
So Mike, being a veteran of Radio Row, refused to do his show about Porzingis. He had, you know, Tony Dorsett come by, talk about Colgate. He had all the guests lined up, and he did not do anything about Porzingis. Don and I did the whole show.
I was
and
there,
you,
too.
I'm sorry.
Jesus.
I forgot.
He took me out of the whole
all
story.
All three of us did the entire show on Porzingis.
Yes.
And we had huge ratings that day, and that was the day that we made the leap over him. So that's why we have a bad taste about even going to the
Super Bowl. Well, also, there's such a beautiful part to that, too, which is us getting to tell management we don't want to do something and then it working out to our benefit. Always wonderful when that happens.
And also, telling management, well, you don't want to do something, which saves them thousands of dollars. They were all in.
No, that was a big
deal. They didn't really fight that much.
Yeah,
so.
I guess you're right about that. I will say this year, I do have some FOMO about like the restaurants and the camaraderie of seeing our colleagues and things like that. But as far as, you know, we would probably be, flying back tonight or tomorrow night?
Yeah, we never stay. Don and I stay for the game.
The Giants,
the
Patriots
Giant
first
one. Yeah.
I'm not saying for – this wouldn't have been the game that I'm fighting to stay for.
No. Most of the people on Radio Row ended up leaving. And it's better to watch the game at home. I'm sorry. It is. It just is. I did go to the last time they had a Super Bowl at Levi Stadium. I went to that. We were there and said that was when I ate the banana for the first time.
That's right.
Wow.
In San Francisco.
What a day.
And there wasn't there an awkward lobby meeting with what was her name again from ESPN? She worked at ESPN at the time and you went and introduced yourself. It was very awkward.
Oh, my
in
God.
The lobby
Slobbering.
Of the hotel.
Slobbering.
Oh, who was that? L. Lindsay?
Lindsay
Zarniak.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was, as my daughter would say, cringe.
It was not cringe.
It was cringe.
Peter, I was there.
It was bad?
Michael was not there. I told Michael.
He told me, and I cringed, and I wasn't even there.
I
felt bad for
that.
I was trying to drag you back.
I don't know why it was so bad.
It was awful. I mean, it's something I don't think you could ever live down.
Wait, worse than the Benanti call, Don?
Come on.
Benanti.
Benanti was next level.
So it was worse than...
Yes, but he's saying Benanti is the new standard.
No, if Benanti was sitting next to me, I could understand. You know, it was over the phone.
Listen, don't fight back. I saved myself by bringing you up. Let me get out of it.
Yeah. You forgot he existed just a moment ago.
No offense to Lindsay at all. You know, Benanti's sporting a Tony.
I love the Zarniak. Okay. We got to get to Lou Lamoriello, okay?
Yeah. Lou Lamoriello is going to be here with us on set. He's actually waiting right
don't
now.
Leave him waiting.
So let's do it. We'll come back. We'll take a quick break. Peter is going to actually tell us about FanDuel.
Of course I am.
And then when we come back, Lou Lamoriello of the Islanders is going to join us right now. Legend, Hall of Famer, the whole deal. He'll be with us, but first, Peter has this to tell you.
Well, guys, as you've heard us talking about, I don't know if you're aware, Super Bowl 58 is going to go on ahead and go down this weekend. And there are so many different options to play with at FanDuel Sportsbook when it comes to the Super Bowl. Maybe you're looking for a same-game parlay. Maybe you want to come up with your own. Or maybe you want to go find a popular SGP on the FanDuel app. You can do it so many different ways. Maybe you just want to play straight winner or parlay, point spread. Maybe you're all about props, who scores first, how long is the anthem. It's all there for you to play with on FanDuel Sportsbook, all right? So head over right now to FanDuel.com/Peter, all right? If you don't already have an account, make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and over and physically present in New York. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text open wide 467-369.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back to the Michael K. Show. Coming to you live from UBS Arena, where tonight the Islanders against the Lightning. And you know, we get the chance to talk to the legend, Lou Lamoriello, the president of hockey operations here on the island. And he joins us on set. And Lou, good to see you. How you doing?
Very well, Michael, and first of all, thank you, fellas, for doing this. This is great.
Well, it's our pleasure.
We love the place, and we love coming here. Second time we've done it. So what do you think of your team right now? Right now, outside looking in on the playoffs, how do you feel about your team?
I feel very good about us, but we have to do it on the ice, of course. Mm-hmm. And we're in a position where we determine our own destiny. So that's all you want. And certainly, you know, we made a change, and it takes just a little bit of time for the adjustment of the players to that, but they're adjusting well. I'm pleased with the way things are going, so, you know, here we are.
Well, let's start there with Patrick Waugh. It's the fourth time you've hired a coach that came from the Montreal Canadiens pedigree, other than their winning. What is it about Montreal that you like in the coaches that you hire?
You know, Don, that question has been asked several times recently, and I have to think back because I don't think it had anything to do because of Montreal. It had to do with who the coach was available at that time with the type of team we had. Certainly, the coaches that we've had, you said four, and Jacques Lemaire, at that given time, I thought we had a team that was capable of winning, and that was when the era came of players coming from Europe, coming from college. Oh, they were all over, junior. And Jacques was the coach out there that had coached in all those areas. He coached in Europe. He was an assistant coach at Plattsburgh, believe it or not.
Yeah.
He coached junior, and of course, when he coached the Canadians, they wanted him to go back, and it wasn't what he wanted to do. And we had to do a little bit of a sales pitch to get him to come to New Jersey because he really didn't want to. And then Larry Robinson comes in as his assistant, and we had decided to make a change, and he was the perfect coach knowing the players at that time, and we felt that team was capable of winning. And then we had slipped a little, and then we needed a tough coach, a coach that could be a good bench coach because we had the players, but somebody who had to get our players accountable at that time, and Pat Burns was available. He actually wasn't coaching. So it was timing at that time, and similar right now with Patrick. I thought we needed a certain type of coach, someone with tremendous enthusiasm and also details. He did a tremendous job with the junior team, and the conversations that I had with him, not only in the past but recently, you know, gave me the feeling that he was the right guy. And I'm really pleased with that we made that decision.
What can you say about Patrick's demeanor as a coach? And generally, what sort of split do you look for between bench coach strategy and sort of locker room leader personality?
Well, I think you'd like all of the above.
Of course.
I think that what Patrick brings right off the bat is passion. His competitiveness, I think, is known by all. But his teaching skills are exceptional. You know, and I relate to another coach that had to make a similar decision back in my days in college, like Rick Pitino. Rick was that type of person at that given time. We needed a recruiter there, but I didn't realize how well he could coach at that given time. He was actually assistant at the Knicks, if you remember, with Hubie Brown. And so, you know, you make these decisions. But Patrick is the full package right now. He's a teacher. He's a coach. And what he has is something. He still has that passion burning in him.
It's interesting. We're talking with Lou Lamoriello here on the Michael Kay Show. So I've read all these stories about Patrick. You know, he was a coach in the NHL, and then he kind of disappeared. Nobody would take a chance on him. And I keep reading, Lou Lamoriello is the one guy with the innards to actually take a chance on this guy. Did you feel you were taking a chance? And why didn't anybody else touch a guy who was successful in his previous stint?
That's a great question. I didn't feel we were taking a chance. I think what happened back when he left Colorado, there were some situations that maybe didn't work out well. And I think that people thought that he wanted total control. That's the impression I got. And I don't think he did. I think it was just the nature of the combination. Joe Sakic, who was the general manager at that time, they played together. It was their first team together. And so that, you know, at that given time, they were probably both doing a lot of everything. And then things maybe didn't go the way they liked. And then they thought that maybe it was because of Patrick. But as I said, in my conversations with him, I had no indication whatsoever that I would be taking a chance.
Also, he was thought of back then, and even when he went to the juniors, as very volatile, very demanding. Has he changed, or do you want that?
Well, I'd have to say we haven't seen that, okay? Extremely demanding, what to a positive.
Okay.
Not to a negative, to a positive. When a coach wants details out of players, you know, on a consistent basis and not cheating the game, to me that's an extremely positive thing. And that's what happens with coaching at times. There's a slippage, and it's trying to get that slippage before it happens. So I haven't seen it, but if it's necessary to be volatile for the right reasons, then I accept it.
Now, so much has changed since you came, you know, to the Devils in 87, but how about the players? Are they any more or less coachable? Are they different than they were when you were first drafting players and coaching players back in the day?
I haven't found that. I think it's all about what you allow to have happen. And I think that if a player doesn't understand that the logo in the front is more important than the name, they shouldn't be on a team that I want to be a part of. And I've been very fortunate to have players who come to play as a team and want to win. And there's only one way to address it if it's the wrong player.
You know, it's funny, Lou, because throughout sports now, when people are choosing managers or coaches, they don't want the disciplinarian. Players have egos. They don't want to be coached a lot. They want to be told how great they are, not how bad they are. Is that spilling over into hockey, in your opinion?
I don't think so. And I follow, as you know, I'm close to baseball. Yep. And follow all sports. I think that different teams need different managers or coaching, depending upon, you know, in baseball we've got manager, in hockey we've got coach. I think that you can go to history that there are some managers who need a young team who are teachers, and then there are managers who need a veteran team who can turn their head, and maybe, for example, a manager going out to the mound and deciding he wants to take a pitcher out and maybe gets talked out of it. Well, a mature manager and somebody who's been in it can accept that. I think a young manager just starting feels it's a challenge to him. So I think it depends upon the individual and the team you have. And I think we saw that in the World Series, you know, some of the decisions that were made and, you know, happened. I think that, for example, you know, one of my favorite people and a great friend, Joe Torre, I think that, you know, with a veteran team, Joe is perfect.
You have the luxury of getting to see and win championships with Marty Brodeur. What do you see in Ilya Sorokin? Do you see the potential of greatness in him?
Yeah, they have a lot of similarities as far as their demeanor and composure. And I think the most important thing about them is the players want to play in front of them. They'll never blame anybody for anything. If anything, they'll just look in a mirror. And their competitiveness and also their preparation, their practice habits, all of the above. And we're fortunate we've got two like that. Varlamov is the same. And, you know, I think it's great to have Patrick here, too, with the type of goalies we have. We have an excellent goaltending coaching staff. So all of that, and, you know, the most important guy in the team is the goaltender.
Following up on that, you know, for example, this week we're talking a lot about the Rangers goaltender situation with Shesterkin and Quick and what's happening there. It made me think of quarterbacks, you know, like when you have a backup quarterback and a backup quarterback comes in and all of a sudden gets a hot hand, it can create a lot of questions. How do you handle situations like that with goaltenders? And do you have to approach it in the same way where if a backup goaltender plays too well, it can almost put extra pressure on your starting goalie and then you have a problem you didn't anticipate on having?
I'd love to have that problem.
But is it still a problem? Everyone says that, but as Michael always says, it can still be a problem. No?
It depends upon the character of the people that you have. I think that if they know if they're playing well and they're not, and if they're a team person, they know that. But also, if you have a number one goaltender and, say, a number two, they say two A's or one A's and one B's, whatever it might be, they know who that is. And if they're not going well, sometimes a rest is good for them. But I don't see that as a problem. I think the most important thing when you have a number one goaltender is the character of your number two goaltender. And the support end of it as far as how he and where he's at in his career. And, you know, the words, is he right. not playing enough? So that, to me, is the most important thing, not the other part.
And then and that's maybe one of the biggest changes, right, Lou? I mean, when Marty would play 75 games. I remember Grant Fuhr played 78 games one season. Now your backup's expected to play north of sometimes 25 games. So it does open the door for the backup to maybe outplay the starter in moments like that.
Absolutely. And the reason for that is the schedule. The schedule is so condensed now. I sometimes wonder if we have more days off than we have playing dates because of, you know, every year something new is happening. You have to give more days off, and you need, and the games are 3 and 5. We've got, you know, this coming up this weekend, 3 and 5, 3 and 4, really.
Yeah.
And then 4 and 7. So you need a goaltender to play a minimum 20 games.
You know, I was thinking about asking you this because, you know, obviously you're a legend in you know, in front office, you're in the Hall of Fame, and you did mention that you're a big baseball fan. Do you like analytics or not? Do you think it's ruining sports or not?
Well, I'm a fan of analytics to the point, okay? When analytics can measure the size of somebody's heart and somebody's DNA when it comes down to, you know, 3 and 2 and it's the ninth inning, and there's two outs, and the hit depends upon winning something. Mm-hmm. Who do you want in that batter's box? And same thing in hockey. But what it does give you, it gives you an indication of a trend. And I think if you look at it that way, but what I read in baseball and what I read in the paper the other day by one of the former managers that somebody's calling down and saying the load is too heavy. That's out of my league.
Showalter said that, yeah.
Yeah, that's out of my league. Yeah. I mean, I can't even understand and accept that.
And it happens a lot. It really does. And, you know, lineups are made out for managers, too. And, you know, there almost has to be a separation of state. And you know, there's a front office job, and then there's down there. Joe Torre, who you mentioned, once told me, he said, I had analytics tell me we should take out David Cone and bring in this guy from the bullpen in this spot. And I said, I know that David Cone would kill a small woodlands animal to get an out. I don't know what the other guy would. And, you know, it's the heart that's not measured.
Exactly. And while I'm in the position I'm in, that, in my opinion, that will never happen. And none of our coaches will have that put on them because I just don't believe to that degree. Mm-hmm. And I go back to Red Auerbach. I think he was the one who came out with the statement. And I think they did analytics in the best way, if you recall, with Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain. I mean, Bill thought that if he could get Chamberlain to score 60 or 70, the rest of the guys playing with him wouldn't score. So, to me, that's analytics.
Right, and it worked.
How much longer do you want to do this?
I think Michael asked me that.
Well, you have a good memory. I did, yeah.
He asked me that, and I said, I turned it around. How long do you want to do it?
But what makes it still fun for you?
The competitiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah, the aspect of having an opportunity to win. There's nothing like winning. There's nothing like competing, and to me, that's what drives you. And as long as your health is good and you feel good and you're working with, you know, people, the great people, we've got a great ownership here. They've been tremendous as far as the support end of it, and you know, we're allowed to do what's necessary to win.
How important is it for you and this team to make the playoffs this year?
To me, it's always important. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there's anything second to it. I think they. That's the commitment. That's what you want. As far as saying what the importance is, I mean, if there is a team that isn't important to, I don't know how they're thinking.
Is there something specific that has to happen for you guys? Right now, you're 4 points out to actually make the playoffs.
Win. I don't know any other word.
So are you looking forward to the stadium series?
Right now, I'm just focused on these games coming up, to be quite frankly. But I think our players are. You know, I've been in two, one at Yankee Stadium and one in Toronto, and it's tremendous for the fans. It's and the players, the way it, you know, you're able to get your families out there and skate a couple of days before, and it's something that's an experience that you know only comes a couple of times in a lifetime. Some won, some so. You know, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic, especially a little nostalgia going back to the Meadowlands and, you know, the stadium there and 60,000, 70,000 people. It should be fun.
You had dealings with George Steinbrenner. Tell us what that was like.
I loved it. I had probably as good a relationship as you could possibly have. He was tremendous to me from day one. I can remember our first meeting. And until the day he passed, there was a relationship and a friendship, I thought, that was built. Anytime we went into Tampa to play and he was in town, we went to breakfast, went to lunch, and, a relationship started. And I still feel very close to the Yankees.
Well, Lou, thank you for dropping by. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Lou Lamoriello, president of hockey operations here with the New York Islanders. Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. And with DraftKings Same Game Parlays, everyone's got a shot at an even bigger win for Super Bowl 58. String together multiple bets from the big game for a shot at making your payday even sweeter. Niners, Chiefs, over-under, money line, spread. The choice is yours. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code EMPIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. And if official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code EMPIRE. The crown is yours. You must be 21 plus, physically present in New York. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. At 5 o'clock, we're going to do a little something funky. We're going to talk to the Yankee manager, Aaron Boone.
Why is that funky?
Because, you know, spring training starts. Pitchers and catchers on the 14th. He's going to talk to the assembled media on Tuesday, but we want to scoop them. So we're going to talk to
Aaron Boone. Tell us what's going on. We got to get his pick too.
That's right. And I have some breaking news. I didn't even tell you this.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, on the show to break down the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
Steve Young. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Who better?
Back and better than ever.
Former Niner.
Look at that. And he's supposedly been talking a lot with Brock Purdy. Has a relationship with him, so we'll talk to our good
Andy
buddy.
Andy had a big sit-down with Tom Brady yesterday,
yes, he
too.
Did. Yes, he did. Look at you. Right now, though, we get a chance to talk to Islander legend Bobby Nystrom. He joins us here on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
You know, last time we were here,
not used to this cold weather, though.
Yeah, we were here. We talked with you last time when they gave out your bobblehead.
Yeah, exactly right. I still got a whole bunch of them.
Yeah? Sell them on eBay.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
What do you think of this Islander team right now?
Well, you know, I think that, I don't want to knock any coaches, but I think the coaching change was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, you know, the one thing that I really look at is, for a team to lose that many overtimes,
right?
There's something going on there that's just not right. 17. If they won 8 of those, they'd
different
be right
story.
In the run.
Yeah.
No question about it.
It's hard to put a finger on it, right? Because I'm wondering, how much do you get a chance to practice 3-on-3? I mean, it's so much different over time than the previous 60 minutes. So how much time can you really work on it?
Well, I think that's really unfair, you know, in the fact that you're playing the whole game with 5 guys on the ice. And, okay, so the top 3 guys go out there. I mean, there's guys sitting on the bench that, you know, could possibly score the goal. But I think that they're going back to either 4-on-4 or even 5-on-5. It just seems a fair, you know, platform.
How jarring is it for a player to have a coaching change mid-season?
You know, I think that it's always tough. You hate to go. You hate to see someone go. But, again, I think that Waugh's going to come in here and kind of crack the whip a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very necessary.
What about, we were talking about it earlier today with the NBA trade deadline and the Knicks losing a locker room guy. What about when you lose a real locker room guy, even if it's not the best player on the ice, but someone who really contributes to the camaraderie? What's it like when you show up and they're gone?
Well, I think that in that particular case, I think that there's a little bit of a different handling of that person. You know, if he's young, okay, fine, I can understand. But if it's one of the older players, usually they can maybe move him into a coaching position. So many of these older players are able to motivate people. You know what I mean? They do it on the ice. So, I think it passes. Everything passes.
We just had Lou on, and you know, I asked him about Wah, bringing a guy in who, you know, volatile, maybe a little bit of a disciplinarian.
Yeah.
With other sports, I don't know if it's hit hockey yet. Players don't like that. I mean, they want to be told how great they are. They want to be stroked. They want to, I mean, yeah. Do you think that some players would be adverse to that, especially younger guys?
Well, I think that he's got to kind of figure out which guys are which, you know. Like, I mean, Al used to come in and he'd go right at Denny, and he'd go at Bossy, and he'd go at Trotche. And so we're sitting there and we're saying, holy cow, he's giving these people, right. You know, we better get our rear ends going.
Right.
And I think that if he's a motivator, he'll pick out his crew that he's going to go after.
Mm-hmm. Can you maybe – some of these guys watched him win cups. Is that something I have to get over? Not only is he your coach, he's Patrick Waugh. Yeah. So you got to get over the awe of that. But I guess there's going to be that instant credibility and instant respect because of what he's been able to accomplish.
Well, just from what I've heard, I hear he's pretty intense.
Yeah.
And I think that right now – the team needs that. You know, I mean, the fact is that they've, again, lost those games in the third period, lost games in the overtime. Someone's got to come in and fix that whole situation.
Yeah.
When, you know, you sat down, you were joking about your golf game. And it's funny, so many ex-athletes, I mean, when their career is over, they become so immersed in golf. Does it give you anything close to what you had on the ice?
No, I'm an activity guy. I'm an avid mountain biker, mm-hmm. tennis player. I mean, I really like that action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would actually go out with my wife, and she'd drive the cart, and I would run beside her, and then I'd hit my shot and then run to the next shot.
Really?
But, you know, I think that it's hard for me to just kind of sit down and relax. You know, I'm kind of intense in that respect.
Does anything give you that buzz that you had as a professional athlete?
No, you know what? I'm playing in, you know, sometimes team sports with tennis and things like that. But, no, with our team, we just had a special relationship. And,
right.
You know, that's the one thing that you really miss. And we just had a reunion just recently, and it's just so great to get back together with the boys and talk, you know, hockey and laugh at the same joke. So I think that I'm more in that.
It's funny, every year old timers at Yankee Stadium, it's like their conversation picked up from 30 years ago. Is that the same thing with you guys?
No question about it. I mean, the fact is that we tell the same jokes. I mean, we tell the same stories. Maybe it's because we're old and we can't remember. But I have to say that we laugh at the same jokes.
That's great.
And do you realize when your career is winding down, were you able to sort of slow down, take a look, and have a season or two where you appreciated it? Or did it sort of come at you quick and you're like, oh my God, this thing's over. I'll never be doing this again.
I would say that it for me, it came in the last couple of years. I didn't play very much. And, you know, I mean, my career ended by the fact that I got hit in the eye with a stick. And as much as it was bad, it was good because it ended my career.
You didn't have to make a choice.
I think that that's one of the things that, hey, listen, I'm a little disturbed about, you know, the eye, but I want out.
19 straight series wins. Can it ever happen again?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think that the game is so competitive right now and the teams are so even that I don't think that anyone could do it.
Bobby, it's always great talking to you. Thank you so much
you know
for
what?
Dropping
it's a
by.
Pleasure.
Now,
yeah,
now it's a tradition. Pleasure. We'll see you next year. Yeah, that's what we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I've got a couple of presents for you guys.
You got presents? Oh,
we love presents.
And this one's got the C on it.
Really?
So
you're giving me
guys
the C?
Exactly
wow.
Why am I not surprised?
And here's one for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Wow.
And this. Here's another one.
This is the Stadium Series.
Yes. This is the Stadium Series.
Awesome. And they're warm, too. I was out the other day, you know, like for the event outside. I put one of these on. It's phenomenal.
Oh, these are so cool, man.
Thank you so much. That's so nice of you.
My pleasure.
Little do you know how bad a captain Michael would be of a team. He'd be talking to the press every day.
Oh, I'd be the guy
Anonymous leaks all coming from.
Oh, yeah. Bad team.
I'll give you my number.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you.
Aaron Boone's going to join us in just a moment. Hey, to score a touchdown, everything needs to line up perfectly, no different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, well, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 by London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today, any of their 7 locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. Mention I told you to stop by. You'll get the Michael K. treatment. Well, listen up. It's Michael K. When it comes to travel, nothing beats Legends Limousine. I felt the difference, and let me tell you, it's real. When my family and I need a ride to the airport or out of town, we choose Legends. Their commitment to safety makes every trip a breeze. These guys are not just any service. They've been setting the gold standard for over 30 years. I trust them, and so should you. Call 1-888-LEGENDS. That's 1-888-534-3637. Again, 1-888-534-3637. And use the code ESPN10, ESPN the number 10, to snag 10% off. Travel like a legend with Legends Limousine.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.